FinQuest Social Casino. It's Thanksgiving time. The turkey's hot and the family's loud. Instead of football, play a different game on your phone. Live dealer blackjack, craps, and slots. Play anytime, anywhere. SpinQuest.com. This Thanksgiving, gobble up a $30 coin pack for just $10. Come play today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are live on a Tuesday on Football Full Circle for a second consecutive week on a Tuesday where the New York Jets dominate the headlines. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. If this next hour or so feels like it is dedicated to gangrene, it's because when it comes to drama in the National Football League, that's what the New York Jets deliver. Wins, that's a different story for New York. We react to a monumental Monday night football game at MetLife last night for the Jets and the Bills in the immediate aftermath that Scott has led us to a blockbuster trade on this Tuesday morning. Devontae Adams has been traded from the Las Vegas Raiders for a conditional third-round pick to reunite with his former quarterback in Green Bay, but this time for the New York Jets. Devontae Adams, the newest New York Jet as of about 2 hours ago.
Yeah, you can make the case, Ben. The Jets lost the battle last night, but they won the war. Because I can't help but think, you know, if the Jets beat the Bills, and Mike Williams in particular plays really well and doesn't screw up every other play like he did last night, then maybe the Jets don't pull the trigger, at least not right now. But because it was so bad last night, and Rodgers afterwards with his post-game press conference even called out Mike Williams on that last interception, I think that was all the Jets could take, and they said, all right, let's go pull the trigger.
So, Scott, there is so much to get to here. The timeline of how this plays out, a little bit murky as well, but we'll try to paint it here. And we'll use Monday Night Football and the huge trade on this Tuesday morning to try to lay out the path for a second consecutive week of what remains for a struggling franchise just trying to get to the playoffs. And if after last night in a 2-4 start, losing to Buffalo on Monday to end out week 6, and the acquisition and addition of Devontae Adams can turn the tide for the New York Jets the remainder of this season. Scott, let's start with the end of week 6, the closing game of the opening third of this 2024 NFL season. The New York Jets at home as a slight home underdog against Buffalo falter in a monumental game because of what has happened in the last week. The firing of Robert Saleh, the demotion of Nathaniel Hackett as the OC, the elevation of Todd Downing as the new offensive play caller, first game under interim head coach Jeff Ulbrich with all the attention and onus and pressure on the shoulders and right arm of a 40-year-old quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. The game was critical for the New York Jets. With an outright victory at home, they would be an even 500, but even at 500 would be in that first place spot in the division with the direct tiebreaker in front of Buffalo. But Scott, that did not happen. The Jets come up short at home once again, 23-20. They fall in 3 straight games. Josh Allen and Buffalo do just enough. You can blame whatever you would like for why the Jets lost last night. The officiating, which was overwhelming, 22 total penalties, more than 200 total yards. I don't really think, Scott, it was skewed to either team. Costly calls on both. You can blame whatever you would like for the New York Jets, but at the end, in a game they had to have, they did not. And as Aaron Rodgers said after the game, the Jets gave it away. It did feel like that.
Yeah, it's a rare opportunity, you know, Ben, when a game is worth really 3 games. Because if Jets win, they're 3-3. Buffalo falls to 3-3. Jets, though, would technically be in first place because at this point they would hold the head-to-head tiebreaker. So for all intents and purposes, that puts them 1 game up. they lose, as they did. Buffalo goes to 4-2. Jets fall to 2-4. And now Buffalo's up 2 in the standings. But again, now they hold the head-to-head tiebreaker. So in essence, they are up 3 or up 3 games. So this was like a 3-game swing. And it was there for the Jets. But, you know, and that's why I know a lot of people are today, you know, the optimistic Jets fan is going to say, well, we played a lot better. We ran the football. We looked a whole lot better on offense, blah, 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 right? The bottom line, though, is you lost. And that's what the Jets have been doing. You know, even last year with Zach Wilson at quarterback, Ben, they weren't getting blown out of games. They were in games in the fourth quarter, almost all of them. But they found ways to lose. So to me, you know, it's a, you know, the great song, you know, leaders change, but the results remain the same. Jets play a close game, but they found a way to lose.
Yeah, Scott, it really cannot be described any other way. You want to blame the field goal kickers and the atrocities on both sides? Sure, Greg Zuerlein was miserable. 2-4-4, he is 8-for-12 this year. The Jets have a kicker problem, despite the veteran experience of the man known as Greg the Leg. Tyler Bass for Buffalo, one of the worst extra point attempts you will ever see in the history of PATs. And also missed a field goal in the game. It was a windy, swirling night at MetLife. Obviously, that contributed. But when it came down to it, and when the game was on the line, the Jets were down by a field goal with under 4 minutes remaining, and Aaron Rodgers led the Jets offense out there from their own 30-yard line to drive the length of the field with all three timeouts to maybe win the game with a touchdown or at least force overtime. The only interception, the only turnover of the game on the final play before the two-minute warning, Aaron Rodgers for a second consecutive week targeting Mike Williams, leading to the game-sealing interception. So Buffalo wins, Scott. They're 4-2, sitting atop the AFC East. In fact, the only team above 500 in what we expected to be one of the most competitive divisions in football. It has not been. The Jets fall to 2 games below 500 at 2-4, which leads us to this morning. It was rumored, it was speculated, there were the natural ties, the reunion of Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams, who spent 8 successful years together in Green Bay, but it did not seem like it was the realistic opportunity that the Raiders would trade Devontae to New York. And yet, here we are. Devontae Adams is headed to the Jets in a trade where New York will send back a conditional third-round pick that could become a second-rounder to Las Vegas. Here is how it becomes, Scott, a second-rounder. Devontae Adams is a first or second-team AP All-Pro selection at the wide receiver position this season. The Jets play in the AFC Championship or Super Bowl, and Devontae Adams is on the active roster. A 2-4 team, 2 games below 500, acquires one of the best receivers in football to reunite with his quarterback that they had a prolific career together in Green Bay. Scott, in your mind, does it move the needle a ton for this New York Jets team?
I wouldn't say a ton, but it definitely moves it, right? On the surface, it's a great trade. I mean, I've always said, Ben, you know, half joking, obviously, but boy, let me be a GM of an NFL team, and I'm going to put together a winning team. I can get one of the best wide receivers, right, by far in the game for a third-round pick, maybe a second-rounder. I mean, what kind of – you'll never get a Devontae Adams in a second round unless you're really, really lucky, right? So to me, it's a no-brainer. However, now there's always a caveat with the Jets, right? He's got 2 more years left on his contract after this year, roughly $35, $36 million. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's the going rate now for a big time wide receiver. So no issue with that. What's the problem, Scott? The problem is it's not guaranteed. He's got no guaranteed money after this year. And I don't know the Jets salary cap implications with Rodgers and all the different contracts he has and everything else, but are you going to be able to fit that $36 million? Because it's a straight $36 million into your cap, or did the Jets trade for Devontae Adams thinking, okay, we can get him to renegotiate that a little bit? And while before you say, well, the Jets would never make that mistake, just, you know, Google Hassan Reddick, you know, and you'll find out, yeah, maybe the Jets did.
Yeah.
So, you know, is this a one-year thing? Are they kind of keeping him for next year? Is he in his plans? Do they hope to renegotiate, or can they fit $36 million under their cap? So there's a lot more to it than just getting Adams.
That is no doubt about it, Scott. There is a lot more to it. Does it make a significant difference? Will Devontae Adams be that missing link? to get the New York Jets to a winning record and a playoff berth? That is what we will debate here on the other side of the break. The New York Jets continue to deliver the drama in the NFL. We'll break it down next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
After 6 weeks of this 2024 NFL season, the New York Jets are 2-4, two games below 500. But then they have made some changes. They fired head coach Robert Saleh exactly 1 week ago. Interim head coach Jeff Ulbrich is 0-1 as the head man of this Jets organization. And then today, they acquire Davante Adams from Las Vegas to reunite Adams with his former quarterback for 8 years in Green Bay. That, of course, is Aaron Rodgers. Scott, I still think, as we discussed last week in the overall outlook after the dismissal of Robert Saleh, with all that has been invested into Aaron Rodgers in the last 20 months, into acquiescing for Aaron, as he has shared with us via the Pat McAfee show last Wednesday, any insinuation that he is controlling what is happening in the front office is something that he resents. Seems to be like that is the case, that Aaron Rodgers runs the pants or wears the pants and runs this organization as they get Davante Adams. And Scott, the overall idea is, what is success for the New York Jets? We have discussed it in the 20 months since Aaron Rodgers in March of 2023 made his intention clear that he wanted to be in New York. At the time, it was quick to discuss Super Bowl hopes, AFC Championship hopes, at the very least, snapping what was more than a decade-long drought of missing out on the postseason in the National Football League. I'm not sure the Jets are an AFC contender or Super Bowl frontrunner as currently constructed. But where there still may be some hope with the addition of Davante Adams, Scott, is a winning record and a playoff berth. Do you think the acquisition of Davante Adams makes the New York Jets a playoff team?
I don't think so. And listen, a playoff team right now, better than the AFC, is 3-3. So they're not far away, right? But I do expect some of these teams that are struggling that we thought were going to do well, i.e. Cincinnati, to kind of turn things around. And I do think when everything is said and done, you're going to have, you know, maybe 9-8 will get you in via tiebreaker. But I think still the goal is 10 wins, 10-7. So are they going to get there? No. Is Davante Adams going to help? Yep. Would I make the trade? If I could fit him in my salary cap, absolutely. I would make that trade to Harpy, whether Aaron Rodgers is there or not there next year. I mean, you put him on one side and Garrett Wilson on the other. I mean, you talk about a nice 1-2 punch. If everyone could all get along and all get their share of receptions and everything else, you know, on paper, to me, it's a no-brainer. But, you know, we talked about the salary implications before. Ultimately, though, with Aaron Rodgers, I know he threw for nearly 300 yards last night.
Right.
But he's still slower than slow, Ben. I mean, more and more teams are going to do what they started to do, and that is we're going to blitz almost every single play. We'll stick our defensive backs on these wide receivers and say, listen, guys, just chuck your wide receiver, hold them at the line for just a couple of seconds, because Aaron Rodgers is not going to have more than two and a half seconds to throw the football, and they're going to be blitzing him every single time. And you got all these great wide receivers. They're going to be running all these 5-yard pass patterns because they don't have time to go 15 yards down the field. So that's not changing. I've not seen, despite the numbers he put up last night, Ben, I don't think they're a playoff team, because I think Aaron Rodgers is clearly on the other side, and I don't think he's going to be as productive as what Jet fans were hoping.
Scott, in the direct aftermath of a 2-4 start and a loss to Buffalo on Monday night, the Jets' price to make the postseason on FanDuel was +164 for a team that was greater than a $1.70 favorite before the year to see the playoffs and snap a 13-year postseason drought. After the acquisition of Davante Adams, positive movement because of the expected positive impact of Adams, +140, but still more favored to miss than to make the playoffs. And Scott, that's where I fall like you. Now, here is the silver lining for the Jets as they look elsewhere around the division, around the conference in the AFC as a whole. Scott, we spent most of the offseason listing the 10, 11, 12 teams that could be a 9, 10, 11 win team in the AFC to occupy only 7 available spots in the postseason on that side of the league. We thought this was going to be a gauntlet where 10 or 11 wins might be a necessity to even sniff a wild card berth in the AFC. Well, the NFC looks like the better of the two conferences, and only 6 of 16 teams in the AFC after 6 weeks has a winning record. So the Jets aren't even all that far off, despite being multiple games below 500. But Scott, the beautiful thing about the acquisition of Davante Adams right after Monday Night Football is the Jets last night were not plagued by Aaron Rodgers. You could argue the interception to seal the game for a second consecutive week. They weren't plagued by their skill positions. Garrett Wilson and Alan Lazard, both over 100 yards and a touchdown. Breece Hall returned to a significant role offensively, 18 carries, 113 yards, 5 grabs for 56 yards, looking like the guy we had seen in the opening few weeks of the year. You couldn't really blame the defense, although the ground game not great, slopping a rookie in Ray Davis and a Buffalo offense without James Cook. You could certainly blame Greg Zuerlein. Scott, when it comes down to it, this New York Jets team was penalized 11 times. They allowed 3 sacks. And as we saw on the final drive, where the Jets in a 4-minute drill should have been able to at least deliver that monumental moment of extending the game and maybe forcing overtime to tie it, they gave up a sack. They had multiple false start penalties and, of course, the interception to seal it. The issue with the Jets, in my estimation, is not needing more wide receiver help, although I do believe Davante Adams will be a positive impact player for New York.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same issues that they've had, right? Anyone ask about the cadence, you know, for all those false starts that the Jets had, right? You know, anyone ask about how come this is the third game now that you've had an opportunity to win the football game. Yep. And really 4 times, because in a Denver game, they had 2 shots in the final 3 minutes with the football, having a lot of time and timeouts and not be able to get the job done. Minnesota, same thing. And now last night, I mean, that was one of Aaron Rodgers' calling card, right? In his prime, give me the football, all great quarterbacks, but especially him. You know, give me the football with 2 minutes left. I'll get us down the field needing only a field goal. So I don't think anything's really changed. I really don't.
Yeah, Davante Adams, there is no doubt on what he has done in his career, what he still has left to accomplish, and the positive offensive impact he can make for the Jets. Is it enough? Is it worth it? Will it mean the Jets are a playoff team? That remains to be seen. Plenty more around this Jets organization coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC, it's Football Full Circle. So, Scott, the Jets trade for Davante Adams bright and early on this Tuesday morning following a 3rd consecutive loss in a monumental Monday night game they had to have and still were unable to come up with against the Buffalo Bills to end out week 6. Scott, I think we are in agreement that maybe this, just in this acquisition alone, does not benefit the Jets to the point where we believe a 2-4 start magically becomes 10-7 at the end of the year in a playoff berth. But I also think we agree that Davante Adams will provide a benefit. How could he not offensively? When you think of their time together in Green Bay, 8 seasons spent together with the Packers, the final 5 for Davante Adams from 2017 to 2021 were all Pro Bowl years. In 3 of those final 4 years, more than 1,370 receiving yards, 11 receiving scores in each of those 3 seasons. The only year he missed out on 1,000 or double-digit touchdowns, he only played 12 games. So that prolific connection between Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams should carry over to New York. Now, does it bum any of the egos out or rub anybody the wrong way already within the Jets facility? That remains to be seen. But at least on the field, Scott, on paper, Davante Adams should make a positive impact for a Jets offense that hasn't been terrible, at least wasn't last night, but should help them get even better.
Yeah, but that's the key, Ben, on the field. Something where Davante Adams has not been the last couple of weeks. Remember, he has a hamstring injury, supposedly, right? So this just also reiterates, you know, losing last night, as we said at the top, you know, you lose the battle, but maybe you win the war. Nobody, but nobody trades for an injured player when the trade deadline is not until 2.5 weeks away, November 5th, I believe it is. I mean, why would you trade for a guy who's not playing, right? Unless, you know, Rodgers or somebody went into that front office and said, you know what, Mike Williams stinks. I can't work with this guy. Go get me Davante Adams. And when he comes to New York, all of a sudden his hamstring will heal. But, you know, if he does legitimately have an injury, you know, why in the world would you trade for the guy right now, right? Don't you have? And how's he going to pass a physical when you're injured? What kind of physical is that? Oh, by the way, I'm injured, but I'm still going to pass the physical. You're still going to have to approve this trade. I mean, it would be just like the Jets to trade for a guy that they're going to find out's not going to play for another 2 months. I mean, it's got desperation. I actually give the Jets credit, Ben. You know, they're trying to win, unlike what, you know, fans down in Dallas are saying about, you know, their owners. So they are trying to make moves. They're still all in, at least for this year anyway. But if the whole thing implodes, you know, again, Adams not under contract for next season. Well, no guaranteed money for next season. They can get rid of him. Maybe they can get rid of Rodgers and really just start from all over again. But I find it weird that they would trade for a guy today who's not, hasn't played in a couple of weeks.
He has missed the last two games listed on the injury report. That's Davante Adams for Las Vegas with a hamstring injury. Scott, I think that he will be ready to go come Sunday night in Pittsburgh against the Steelers, where the New York Jets are a slight road favorite. That total on the rise, by the way, 37.5 is now 38.5. Frankly, Scott, this is where Davante Adams should be worth the investment. The Jets should flirt with that as if it's their team total, albeit against the Steelers, who are one of the better defensive teams in the NFL. Because Davante Adams does not play offensive line. Aaron Rodgers, in three consecutive losses, has been sacked 11 times. He was sacked 5 times in total in the first 3 weeks of the year. He is not the field goal kicker, Davante Adams, where Greg Zuerlein is 8 of 12 this year and just 2 for 4 last night. Davante Adams needs to provide that immediate impact offensively in the wide receiver room. Is Garrett Wilson happy? What does Alan Lazard think? Again, a former Packer. Is Mike Williams now expendable, as some have already guessed that he might be? Scott, here is where I will give the Jets credit, outside of being invested and all in, but they have really been that way to whatever Aaron Rodgers has wanted to do over the last 18 months to 20 months of his time as a member of this New York organization. Scott, they didn't give up a lot for Davante Adams. Conditional third-round pick that can become a second-rounder for those conditions we laid out. It wasn't a ton of draft capital back to Las Vegas.
Yeah, and you think if they trade Hassan Reddick, who supposedly they've given permission to, Ben, to seek a trade now, maybe you can get that back in a Reddick trade.
Yeah, we'll see. We shall see. A little bit more on the New York Jets, some issues with the Dallas Cowboys, and plenty more as we look forward to Week 7 in the NFL on the other side of the break here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
So the New York Jets make a blockbuster move. They acquire Davante Adams. They only give up a conditional third-round pick that will become a second-rounder for the Las Vegas Raiders. If Davante Adams is a first or second AP All-Pro selection this year, or the Jets reach the AFC Championship or Super Bowl and Davante Adams is listed on the active roster. Again, Scott, when it comes down to it, we have a 2-4 New York Jets team that is two games below 500, after 6 weeks. It's not like everybody in the AFC is off to too hot of a start, but it's still a plus 140 price for the New York Jets to make the playoffs. And that remains the question. The minimum of success this year, I would say, is snapping a 13-year playoff drought. The Jets have a lot of work to do to see the postseason. Devontae Adams will help, but how much?
Yeah, a couple things on that, Ben. First off, you know, you think about what the Jets gave up, right? Now, you think about other teams that need wide receivers, that need help. Kansas City in particular. All right, maybe you say the Raiders are never going to make a trade to, in their own division, especially to Kansas City, right? All right, but then so are we going to eliminate the Chargers? You know, Chargers desperate for, you know, wide receiver. How about the Buffalo Bills in the same division as the Jets? I mean, put Devontae Adams on the Buffalo Bills. Now we're talking something special. I mean, so there's so many teams. No other team would have at least guaranteed a second round pick. Maybe that would have gotten the job done instead of a conditional third. Here's a second round pick. I mean, boy, that's amazing. That really is. Two, the Jets, as we were talking in the break, they're kind of like that NBA team, Ben, that does well for three quarters, you know, close games, and then in the fourth quarter, they end up losing. When time comes to really play, when players step up and say, okay, game's on the line, let's go for real, the Jets, like a lot of NBA teams, they lost. You know, they had a game with Denver at home. Yeah. Two opportunities, as we talked about, to win the game, they lose. Minnesota, game on the line, has the football, fourth quarter, they lose. Last night, game on the line, they have the football, they lose. So they're like that NBA team that's competitive. They're not getting blown out for three quarters. But fourth quarter, when players really say, okay, let's step up, or we really need to stop against Aaron Rodgers, they're able to do that. So, you know, a lot of NBA teams are on the rise, and they ended up winning those games. I don't know if the Jets are on the rise and are going to win those games, or are they going to regress and start getting, you know, knocked out at halftime. But I do like the Adams move. I do think that's going to be a help on paper. But, you know, Garrett Wilson's not happy right now about not getting balls thrown his way. Well, what's it going to be like now? Where Alan Lazard's been a big part of this offense. Is he going to be, you know, back to basically being a nobody? You got to get rid of Mike Williams, right? You don't need four wide receivers. And the way Williams has played, I don't know if anyone would take him, but I would think he's on the outs.
You would think so, Scott. A couple of bruised egos in that offensive room. Listen, Aaron Rodgers can tell you whatever he would like, that he resents any insinuations that he is controlling the front office or has any say whatsoever. I don't buy it. I will continue not to buy it. I believe that Aaron Rodgers wears the pants in this Jets organization. And he has come in since March of 2023 and completely overhauled this organization based on coaching staff, based on roster. If I'm Garrett Wilson, my ego's slightly bruised. If I'm Breece Hall, I'm thinking to myself, get me another O lineman. We don't need another wide receiver out there at this point. You want some help? Maybe get Hassan Reddick in-house for a Jets defense that is second in total yardage given up this year, second in passing defense allowed this season, but not great against the run either this year or a year ago. If I'm everybody on this Jets roster, I'm saying get rid of Greg Zuerlein and bring in a kicker that can win us football games. Again, I don't think the wide receiver position, namely, or any skill position spot offensively, is what is the issue plaguing New York at this point. If there was one skill position player I would look at as the detriment, it would be number 8. It would be the quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. Scott, I was critical, and still am, of the New York Jets and their dismissal of Robert Saleh. Again, another scapegoat, another person to be blamed for the issues, when I don't think that is the main reason the Jets are continuing to struggle. I question what it would mean for the future of this franchise. I've kind of eased my stance on that, because what exactly is the future of the New York Jets, a team that has missed the playoffs for 13 consecutive years? So if they do it for a 14th, they just add on to their historic playoff drought. If they do not win this year and it is not worth it and they have to move on past Aaron Rodgers and have to draft a new quarterback, it's not like this is a franchise that has had a great track record in doing that and that Aaron Rodgers has been the reason it has fallen apart. So where I will give the New York Jets a little bit of credit here, again, is in what they gave up for Devontae Adams. It is draft capital. It is day 2 draft capital. It is a valuable piece and an asset. It is not like two first-round picks to press desperation mode all in right now. Obviously, they have invested into whatever Aaron Rodgers desires, and that's why Davante Adams is here for New York. But it wasn't like, hey, we got rid of the entire roster or multiple draft picks, a first-rounder, and multiple picks beyond that to acquire Davante Adams. It wasn't the wealthiest price tag heading back to Las Vegas.
Yeah, and so then you go back to the other side of the equation, the Raiders, Ben. What are the Raiders doing? You gave up a first and a second round pick for this guy just a couple of years ago, and he's been productive with you. Now, he says he's crying he wants out because he got rid of Derek Carr. Okay, but you know what? If you acquiesce to every single player's demands, you won't have a football team. You're bringing in Aiden O'Connell. You think maybe he's your quarterback in the future? You think he's better off with or without Davante Adams in that lineup? I mean, and to not get at least a number one, heck, not even maybe realistically a number two, I mean, you trade away for nothing. Basically, you cleared his books, but you don't need to trade him. You know, there's no guaranteed money after this upcoming season. So you could have just cut him. And you know, if you're worried about his salary, I don't know why the Raiders would make that move. But what does that prove, you know, getting a lousy third round pick? You know, from a team that should be halfway decent now, you know, it's not going to be in the top 10. So you're looking at middle of the third round, the latter part of the third round, you know, best case middle third round. For a guy that you gave up a first and a second just a couple of years ago, the Raiders are a mess. It's just a mess.
Who, Scott, despite his issues, at least with this year for Davante Adams, he has been really productive. Over 1,100 receiving yards in each of his 2 years with Las Vegas. Of course, this year it kind of went off the rails for a variety of reasons. And here's Davante Adams just trying to reunite with his best buds, wherever that may be, in Las Vegas, leaving Green Bay before even Aaron Rodgers left his Packers organization to play with his college buddy and quarterback in Derek Carr, who then quickly was sent to New Orleans. And now Davante Adams is like, hey, instead of going to a team that has promise and hope, I'm going to try to bring the Jets back from the depths of mediocrity to just reunite with Aaron Rodgers. Again, you hope it's worth it, Scott, but that's always been my question for the New York Jets. Is it worth it? Was it worth it if they miss out on the postseason for a 14th consecutive season? You want the answer to be a resounding yes. Right now, it's trending more like resounding no.
Yeah, and I tell you what, if they don't get that offensive line, Ben, to improve, I don't know how many sacks Buffalo had last night, four or five.
Three.
But they had three. It seemed like a heck of a lot more, because I'm going to say they had a bunch of other, like, solid hit. Now, these are not like sacks. You grab the guy, you just toss him to around real life. I mean, he's getting walloped these last couple of games. He's not going to last. And there were already a couple of times where he was, like, getting up real slow with his ankle and everything. Yeah. I mean, you know, he's... You better be careful about the trading for Davante Adams if the guy he wants to rehook up with is not going to be on the football field. So that offensive line is in a lot of trouble.
And Scott, as you alluded to, again, Davante Adams is technically under contract through 2026. But following this year, starting next year in 2025, there is no guaranteed money left on the deal. There is no dead cap hit if the Jets decide to move on from Davante Adams. Of course, they're not worried about 2025. They're trying to turn things around quickly in 2024. You could say the same for the Dallas Cowboys, and Jerry Jones ain't happy. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. Scott, if you're thinking about drama right now in the NFL, there's two places to kind of circulate that focus. The New York Jets, for sure, 2-4 this season. And also, of course, at the Star in Dallas, where in Dallas this year, the Cowboys are now winless, 0-3, both straight up and against the spread as a home underdog in two of those three losses in Dallas this season, which led to Jerry Jones on a weekly radio appearance that he makes on 105.3 The Fan, a Dallas sports talk radio station, a little bit upset this morning about the criticisms that have been handed to him by fans, but mainly the media members and the hosts of this radio show. Basically pointing to the lack of offseason moves that Dallas made to figure things out on their football team. Jerry Jones saying this: your job is not to point out what I did wrong or what I did right. I'll get somebody else to ask these questions. I'm not kidding. He was fiery. He was heated. He is still obviously a little bit ticked off based on getting hammered 47-9 at home by the Detroit Lions on Sunday. Scott, what do you make of this situation for the Cowboys?
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, I listened to about a 10-minute clip of that, right? And they weren't berating him. You know, it really wasn't. You know, the hosts were not being confrontational. And, you know, they were just asking questions. It really wasn't that bad, to tell you the truth. And they haven't asked any questions. It's not like this is the first time he's been asked about how come there were no moves by the Dallas Cowboys this offseason, right? Yeah. I mean, he's been asked that after every single game that he talks to the media. I mean, I've seen his press conferences. So I don't know what had him flip today. Maybe he just, the final straw, I'm not going to take it anymore. But the whole thing doesn't make any sense. And that's what you have to kind of explain to Jerry, you know, listen, where there's a will, there's a way in the NFL. You know, with Derrick Henry, we're not talking about a $60 million contract. The guy signed for like $14 million with Baltimore. If you can't fit that in your salary cap, then you don't know what you're doing salary cap wise. You got to go get a capologist then to help you out. All you got to do is backload that. It's not that difficult, Ben. That's why I say where there's a will to spend money, there is a way. You just backload all these contracts and eventually you pay the piper, but it can be done. So I don't know what made them flip today, but this team is you know, and here's more fuel to the fire, right? Here are the Jets giving up a lousy third-round draft choice for one of the best wide receivers in the game. You don't think, you know, the Dallas Cowboys would be better off with Devontae Adams on their team? Now you got a solid 1-2 punch. You just gave $60 million a year to Dak. Why wouldn't the Cowboys make that trade? There's just been example after example with Dallas of just not seemingly wanting to win this year. It's the most bizarre thing. So for Jerry to flip on a host and threaten his job, now it's actually occupational hazard here, so we're certainly going to align more with the host than we are Jerry, but that's pretty weak, right? I mean, you threaten a guy's job, and he's probably got the power to do that. I'm sure he could say who he's going to, at least for his show anyway, but not a good look for Jerry Jones.
Yeah, pretty much Jerry Jones's point is like you are not allowed to, or it is not what you should be doing in your occupation to criticize me. Well, technically, that is exactly what those radio hosts are paid to do. Yeah. They are out there to have takes, good, bad, or indifferent, on what the Dallas Cowboys or any sports team in their area is up to. It is what this industry is built on, right or wrong. And Scott, I guess it just kind of is that idea. When a person feels as though they are attacked, they attack back. But if things were good, then there would be no reason to point the finger at anybody. Things are not good for the Cowboys. The one consistent thing we give to Dallas, despite, of course, since 1995 and the last Lombardi Trophy at the Star, failing to even reach the NFC Championship game in their 13 playoff appearances, is they're good in the regular season, and more than likely, they are going to see the postseason through a divisional championship in the NFC East or a double-digit win team that easily claims a wild card berth. 3 consecutive years of 12-5 records for Dallas. They're 3-3 this year, and I don't really think they are going to be able at this current juncture, the way things are going, to just automatically write them in to the postseason. Scott, they entered this year on a 16-game home win streak in Dallas. They have lost all 3 this season. And to your point about Derrick Henry, one of the main criticisms being pointed at the Cowboys, their lack of investment or improvement in the running back room, they can't run the football. Less than 60 yards on the ground against the Lions on Sunday. And then you add in 2 interceptions from Dak Prescott, the guy that you paid along with CeeDee Lamb, who has only had 2 receiving scores this year. I don't really know where you point to for optimism at this moment for a defense, by the way, that has been giving up points and points and points aplenty all season, but especially at home.
Yeah, and Dak had one more interception that was actually called back because of a penalty, and it had a couple of others that really should have been INTs as well. You know, and it's funny, Ben, as media savvy as Jerry Jones thinks he is, they all fall into the same trap. It is amazing. They'll just never get it. I'll come out of character and tell you how this thing works, people. As a reporter, let's just say you're talking to an owner, Jerry Jones. His team loses, you know, by 50 points. And you ask, hey, Jerry, what do you think your team's performance today? And if you're Jerry, you say, we just lost 50 to nothing. What kind of stupid question is that, right? What do I think of my team's performance, right? He's asking that because if the host, Scott Wetzel, use me, says the Dallas Cowboys stunk, that's not making news. We need you, Jerry, to say that your team stunk. That's why we're asking a question. We know the answer to the question. Number one rule, broadcasting 101. Don't ask a question you don't already know the answer to. We need you to respond. We need you to say that, yeah, I should have signed Derrick Henry. I really should have done this. I should have done that. And the player and the coach and the owner, they'll never get that. They don't understand why, you know, the question is being asked. They just think it's a dumb question. You're going to ask me why we lost 50 to nothing. What kind of stupid question is that? Because that's why. Right. They want you to respond. Just like you made news, right? All around the country now. Everyone's talking about Jerry Jones.
Listen, it ain't good in Dallas at this moment at all for the Cowboys. A win total in the double digits before the year got underway has dropped Scott to only 8.5. Not a good sign for the Cowboys. More on FFC up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
So we have talked a lot, Scott, about the New York Jets throughout this show, and rightfully so. They ended out Week 6 on Monday Night Football, faltering and coming up short once again to the Buffalo Bills, but then quickly tried to add and get better with the acquisition of Davante Adams on this Tuesday morning. A trade with Las Vegas, a conditional third-round pick headed back to Sin City. The Jets' next opportunity, once again in prime time to win what feels like another crucial game, is Sunday night in the Steel City against Pittsburgh. The Steelers, a 4-2 team with all six games started by Justin Fields. But Scotty threw for less than 150 yards in Las Vegas last week against the Raiders, despite Pittsburgh winning comfortably as a 3.5-point road favorite, 32-13. He did have two rushing scores, more than 50 on the ground. Najee Harris in the ground game, good, of over 100 yards, and a touchdown there as well. But we thought this could potentially be a reality with Russell Wilson returning to practice last week for the first time in at least a month for Pittsburgh. That maybe, if the offense still wasn't great and Justin Fields wasn't doing all that much, that Mike Tomlin, who said from the very start of this year, Russell Wilson is our starter, does not matter what Justin Fields looks like in practice or in the preseason, might turn to the veteran. Mike Tomlin, meeting with reporters within the last hour, Scott, said that Russell Wilson is in consideration to be the starting quarterback for the Steelers on Sunday night against the Jets. If that happens, Justin Fields would step in to the reserve role. Scott, by the time we get to Sunday night in the Steel City, who is starting under center for Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I think Russell Wilson. You know, it's unfortunate because Justin Fields has won, but I think, Ben, he's a victim of circumstances. Pittsburgh has been down this road before. You know, they won games with Mitch Trubisky, but then they bottomed out. Yeah. They won games with Kenny Pickett, but then they bottomed out. You know, they've had quarterbacks show success, you know, winning regular season games, getting to the playoffs, finishing over 500, but then just not really being competitive in the postseason. So they've seen this already for a couple of years now, and I think they realize the same thing's going to happen with Justin Fields. You can only win so many games throwing for less than 150 yards, and that's what Pittsburgh does. They're looking at the bigger picture. That's why they brought Russ in. So I think the sooner they get to Russell Wilson, the better off it is. They put 32 points on the board against the Raiders, but three of those touchdowns were less than 35 yards, short fields. because of Raider miscues. So that's a little skewed as far as their offense is concerned. I think they're going to, you know, the first opportunity they can put him in there health-wise, I think they're actually going to do it, and I think it's going to be this week. So one quickie here with Pittsburgh and the Jets. Yeah. FanDuel, little goofy specials that they offer. Davante Adams, 30 yards each half receiving, Ben, plus 360. Is he going to make that quick of an impact?
Maybe so, Scott. Mike Tomlin also saying he had to prepare for the possibility of Davante Adams last week against the Raiders. He now has to prepare for the possibility, we would assume, to see Davante Adams on Sunday. I think that hamstring will be fine, and he'll get quickly indoctrinated into the offensive scheme. Of course, Nathaniel Hackett was his offensive coordinator in Green Bay. You would have to assume the scheme, although it's Todd Downing calling the plays, resembles what Adams and Rodgers had in Green Bay. Again, Scott, it's very much the same conversation for the Jets ahead of Sunday night, whether it's Russ or Justin Fields, that it was for the Jets just last night in MetLife. It's a game you have to win. 2-5 is even a lot worse than 2-4. And now you are favored, even if just by a point and a half, against Pittsburgh. This is a game for the New York Jets they must go out there and take advantage of. Because again, you can blame a lot of things last night. You can blame officiating. You can blame field goal kicking. You can blame offensive line play. But at the end of the day, the result will show as a loss and the Jets squandering yet another opportunity. They can ill afford to do so on Sunday against the Steelers.
Yeah, and is it a big difference between Justin Fields and Russell Wilson preparation-wise for the Jets? Probably. Yeah. You know, and I don't say that too often, but this time I'll say, yeah, you know, whether Justin Fields can move all over the place. Russell used to be that way, but not so much anymore. So is it real consideration for, you know, Russell to play, or is that coach's fodder just to kind of throw it into the Jets' face of like, okay, don't think it, you know, won't be Justin Fields or Russell Wilson. So it'll be
interesting. Yeah, you know, it is interesting, Scott, because Justin Fields, despite some of his passing difficulties, does present the ability to scramble. Russ, at this stage of his career, is not exactly the guy to break loose out of the pocket or break contain. We shall see. Again, I'll say this, 38.5 is the total. If you want Davante Adams to make that immediate impact, we go over. He's Scott Wetzel. I'm Ben Stevens. Football Full Circle returns tomorrow, noon Eastern time on Sports Grid Radio.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.